So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you, Lord. We ask that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate daily through a dark, fallen, broken, decaying world. Give us your wisdom now, Lord. Let us discern. Let us hear. We don't want information. We want revelation, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Let your word cut right through, Lord, that double-edged sword. Let it just cut and open us up so we can hear what you have to say and discern what you're speaking to us this morning. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord. It tells us how to think, what to say, what not to say, where to go, what to do, what not to do, Lord. Bless your word. Bless your people so they can hear, and then bless us all so we can apply it and live it daily, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I did say Job chapter 2, right? Amen. Can you all hear me okay? John, bring it down just a little bit. I think I'm kind of loud. That's good right there? Yes, that's perfect, John. So Job chapter 2, we've been going over this and we realize that we're in the midst of spiritual warfare. For those of you taking notes, make the note that this is the first book that was written. Although it's in the sort of the middle of the Bible, it was the first book written. It makes a lot of sense for it being the first book written because it tells us a lot about the spiritual warfare that goes on, spiritual wickedness in high places. So if we're to understand this Christian walk, if we're to be victorious, we have to understand we're in the midst of a battle. We're in the midst of war. We're in the midst of spiritual warfare. Say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, let me put it, I kind of broke some things down, so I will be kind of all over the place. And verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect or a blameless and upright man, one that respects the awesomeness of God. That's what that word fear means. So fear is not that you're afraid of God. Make a note that the fear right there in the Hebrew means that you respect the awesomeness of God. So because you respect the awesomeness of God, there's a certain way that you live and you carry yourself because you respect the awesomeness of God. If you have no respect for God, then you live any old kind of way because you don't even care. The Bible says a fool has said in his heart that there is no God. That's why a fool lives any kind of way that they choose to, because they don't respect the awesomeness of God. But Job did. He stays away from evil. And he still holds fast onto his integrity, although you have influenced me against him to destroy him without cause. This is the conversation that God is having with Satan, as Satan is in the presence of God. This is a dialogue. So I just kind of wrote some things as I was studying. So I'm going to be doing a lot of reading, going to scripture and then reading. But the Lord was putting on my heart. He woke me up this morning and was saying, Satan is like a bully. Slaps you in the back of the head and then he points to the other person. So that you never know that he's the one that's creating the mess. He creates an orderly system of deception, a godless system of oppression, and will have you upset with the system and not him. Have him upset with the system, the people who are deceived by Satan, who are running the system. So instead of recognizing who the bully is, who the liar is, we're upset with a system and we're upset with people that run the system. Well, we should have compassion and pity for them because they're lost in the midst of a deceived and deceptive system. We'll have you upset with your spouse and your spouse upset with you. And then you think you get a random message from an ex saying, I miss you and was just thinking about you. You're 18 years old and you're upset with your parents for asking you what you're doing and where you're going, not knowing that that is the Holy Spirit in them reminding you of who you are. But you still get upset with your parents, and you go out and do your thing and do something you have no business doing. Satan convinces you that, oh, you're still a child of God, even though you're working for me. You get a random late night text, a blast from the past. How random is that? It's not random at all. It's spiritual warfare. Expose the enemy. And here's my point. We've been fighting the wrong enemy. We've been fighting the wrong enemy, and we're living a defeated and depressed lifestyle. Yes, we've won the victory because Jesus has won the victory, but we're losing the everyday battles because we're fighting the wrong enemy. And so here's the deal, family. Why? Because I'm refusing to discipline myself to get into this word every day. I refuse to discipline myself and get up early in the morning and before I have breakfast, humble my heart, pray and fast, read God's word, pray for wisdom, pray for direction, pray for guidance, pray over my life and pray over my family. I refuse to do that. And I keep fighting the wrong enemy. I wake up and I start becoming upset with people and things and stuff. And it's this dialogue going on in heaven where Satan is accusing, tempting, and confusing. And we get caught up because we refuse to discipline ourselves and fight the real enemy. So I've done this before, but this is how we fight. Okay? Lord, before I eat breakfast this morning, I just want to pray and fast. I want to pray for my wife because in Ephesians 5, you told me to love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You said no man ever hated his own flesh, and I'm to love my wife as I love my own body. And the wives would pray, Lord, you told me to respect my husband in 1 Peter chapter 3, calling him Lord. Let me humble myself, respect him, win him over with my conduct and my conversation and not belittle and badger him. Lord, you told me as a youth to honor my parents because this is the first commandment that comes with promise that it might be well with me and I might live long. Lord, as a parent, you told me not to provoke my kids unto wrath, but to nourish them and to train them up and to admonish them in the Lord. So, Lord, I'm coming to you, Lord. I'm tired of fighting the wrong enemy. I'm coming and doing spiritual warfare in the spirit because I know when I get in the flesh, everyone loses. So I thank you, Lord, for this day. I wanted to spend a few minutes praying and fasting and thanking you. Bless me, Lord. Give me wisdom, Lord. Let me discern what's really going on. If someone is God's gift or if they are Satan sent, Lord, give me the wisdom to discern each and every day. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Because we refuse to discipline ourselves and seek God and see what's going on in the spiritual warfare realm. And family, we will go through life and we will be fighting the wrong enemy and you'll be frustrated and you'll be disappointed and you have the victory, but you'll lose the battle daily. So we see the dialogue that's going on in verse 3. If you notice that God says that Satan has enticed him or influenced him, and it's like we know that God doesn't take orders from Satan. Somebody say amen. Let's clear that up right now. Satan is influencing the earth in a negative way, attempts to influence God in a negative way. Only thing is that our God knows everything, and God already knows what Job can handle. God knows what you can handle. God knows that the Trinity, Elohim, is going to work it out for good. So it's already God already knows, Satan, you're not telling me what to do. This has already been established. It's going to work out for good. Just like when Satan influenced the crowd to crucify Jesus Christ and Satan thought he won. But Jesus Christ resurrected on the third day and saved all who would believe in him and put their trust in him. Somebody say amen. Amen. So God doesn't take orders from Satan. This is a dialogue. And God already, Satan doesn't know everything. Satan has power, but he doesn't know everything. God has all power, and God knows everything. And he knows that everything that's happening in our life right now is working together for good to conform us into the son, to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Don't fight the process. Stay close to God. Run to God. God is trying to get you to look more like him. God is the potter and we are the clay. Let the potter do his work in you. It comes. It has to purge. He has to purge some things. God will use Satan just like he used Satan against Job, but to use Satan to purge you and to get you in a place where God wants you to go. Even if Satan thought it was for evil, God turns around for good because you coming out looking more like Jesus Christ. Satan answered, verse 4, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man has will he give for his life. But put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. We see that Satan is a liar. It's the ultimate in bait and switch. Make a note, he's a liar. That's all he does. So I got to read this, Sister Kathy. That's what it says. Read this. So I'm going to read it. It says, as he so often does, Satan changes his story and lies. He pulls the ultimate bait and switch. Remember, he is a liar, and that's all he does. He doesn't know how to play. So if you say, I'm going to just play around. Satan doesn't know how to play. It's not a matter of him playing fair because he doesn't play. You got to understand, he don't even play. That wasn't fair. Don't expect it to be fair because he doesn't play. You're tripping if you think the enemy's going to play fair with you. He lies. And then he throws the bait and switch. Can you come over tonight? I just want to talk. Yeah, right. Go ahead. You won't get caught. He says things like, don't worry. I've got your back. It's okay. No one will ever know. You're 18 now. You're grown. You can make your own decisions. Go ahead and do something for you. Stop living for your parents and do what you want to do. No one will ever know and they won't find out. He says things like, it's okay. Everyone is doing it. It's natural. Stop trying to be perfect. Everyone commits sin. Then you know as soon as you do it, he's going to tell you how stupid you are. Everyone will be able to tell just by looking at you what you just did. Look at you. God could never love someone as stupid as you. You need to stop going to church. It's not helping you. You've become a hypocrite. All he does is lie and tell more lies. Family, you got to know the battle that we're in. You got to understand his strategies. He's baiting and he's switching. He's lying. You have to stay close to God. He'll use you, confuse you, and then lose you. His job is to deceive and destroy you and me. So then let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen, why would you want to be in a relationship with someone who wants to deceive and destroy you? If you're unequally yoked, then you're in a relationship with someone who wants to deceive and destroy you. They're working for Satan. I know it's not popular, but I'm going to expose. I'm snatching the cover off. He's not playing. He doesn't know how to play. That's why we'll win the war, but we're losing the battle in between because we're doing our own thing. When you and I are disobedient to the word of God, we are in a relationship with the deceiver and the destroyer. Let me say it again. Anything that goes contrary to the word of God, we're in a relationship with the deceiver and the destroyer. And people will tell you, I'm good, I got this. You don't understand. It's not a game, it's for your life. Family, know who you are dealing with and run to God and determine in your heart and in your mind to never leave the presence of God again. Regardless of what happens, run to God. Look, because that's what it says. Verse 7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord. It's just a cold game that he spends time with God and will convince us not to spend time with God. And here's the whole irony of it, that Satan is probably spending more time with God than the redeemed children is spending time with God. Verse 7, so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the soles of his foot unto his crown. Underline the presence of God. Bless you. So here's a question. All right, two questions. When was the last time you were in the presence of God? Here's the other question. Do you purposely pursue his presence? Do you make time every day to get into the presence of God? See, Satan's not confused. We are. He knows who has all the power. He knows who's really running the show. He had to get permission to touch Job's life. He knows. We don't. We plan. We don't want to spend time with God because he's convinced us not to. We're so distracted, we got other things to do. But God controls all the power, so we go all around looking for stuff where God says, if you just come to me, I have it. Delight yourself in me, I'll give you the desires of your heart. God said, if you delight yourself in the Lord, Psalms 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Trust also in him, and he'll bring it to pass. And so people take that out of context. Why desire? God is talking about the desires that he put in. There's deep things in your heart that God puts in. And when you get close to God, he shows you those things. When you delight yourself in God, he shows you those things. And we go around trying to find stuff, and we're unfulfilled because what God has placed in our heart, we don't trust in him, and he doesn't bring it to pass because we haven't delighted in him. Satan's whole job is to get us to spend a life of frustration, distracted from God. And look back on your week, and you'll know that he won the battle last week. He's too busy to spend time with God. Too distracted to be focused on the things of God. Satan has got him. And then he goes into the presence of God and accuses you. And then he gets in your head and make you think you're not worthy to come back to God or to even talk to God. All right, let's keep going. Let's keep going. Amen. All right, I said this already. Here's the irony of the Christian walk. I got another read this. Satan can possibly spend more time in the presence of God than God's redeemed children. Satan is not confused. We are. Satan knows the power that occurs in the presence of God. That's why Satan does everything to prevent you and I from getting into the presence of God. Have you mad at your wife, mad at your kids, arguing with your parents, upset with your spouse, stressed out at your job, watching social media and mainstream media all day, altering our mind through drugs and alcohol, and we refuse to discipline ourselves and we miss out on the wisdom of God and the presence of God daily? Say, Pastor, you're just talking a bunch of stuff. Why is this so important? Okay, I got you. Turn to Psalms 16:11. Let's back it up with the word. If it can't be backed up with the word, it's just opinion. Let's back it up with the word. Did I say Psalms 16:11? Wait till you hear this. If you're there, say amen. The title of this psalm is Eternal Life for One Who Trusts God. Let's read one first. It's not even the one I was going to go to, but I'm going to start there. It says, watch over me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Underline that. That's how it starts. See, that's it's easy to say, but when we're going through like Job, when you're going through like David, can you still say that you trust the Lord? When everything's falling apart, the relationship's falling apart, the finances are falling apart, the kids are acting crazy, the job is giving you a pink slip, can you still say, watch over me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust? When your health is failing, now it's your turn. And you're sick due to no fault of your own, like Job, or maybe because of the poor choices that we committed. Either way, do we still trust God then? Yes. Now my kid is strung out on drugs. Now my kid got locked up in jail. Can I still trust God? Watch over me. I put my trust in you, Lord. Can I? Now it's my turn to go through. So he starts off by saying, watch over me, O God. For in thee do I put my trust. Now look at verse 11. That's where I was trying to go. It says, Lord, you will show me the path of life. In your presence, here we go, the presence of God. In your face is the fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Why do you think Satan doesn't want you in the presence of God? He wants you to chase your tail your whole life. And I even broke it down in the Hebrew. I translated it. God will show me the way to true life. In your face is abundant happiness. In your right hand is delightful, sweet, agreeable, lovely, beautiful, musical, singing, sweet-sounding harmony, constantly, enduring, everlasting, perpetuity, permanent, forever. Why do you think Satan never wants you to get into the presence of God? You think he wants you to have abundant happiness? Of course not. Does he want you to experience the delightful, sweet, agreeable, lovely? Says it's the harmony in God's presence, like beautiful musical singing all the time, constantly, everlasting, permanent, forever. Why do you think it's such a struggle to get into the presence of God? I got to do this. I got to do that. The phone constantly ringing. Things popping up on the phone. I get distracted. Go to look at the Bible app. Three things then popped up. Now I'm chasing a rabbit down a rabbit trail. And then I get a call. Then I got to go. Oh, I'm late for work. Never got into the presence of God. Never paused long enough to talk to God. Get to work and the boss is tripping. The coworker are already crazy. Didn't get into the presence. Now I'm frustrated. I'm upset with people again. And that's not even the enemy. Spiritual warfare, family. That's why the enemy never wants an individual, and especially a couple. Never wants a couple on the same page. Because on the same page, God, you will show me the path of life. And we know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's already showed us. If a couple gets into the presence of God, it's the abundant happiness. I'm telling you, that's why I got it written right here. He never wants an individual, and especially a couple, to get on the same page and get into the presence of God. Because then it will expose the enemy for what he is, a liar. Got a note right here, says, family, fight to stay into the presence of God daily. You got to fight. He's not going to let you get there. He's going to try and distract you, bring up all kind of stuff. Old stuff, new stuff, stuff that has nothing to do with anything, but is going to distract you from the presence of God daily. All right, let's go back to Job. That's why it's so important to get into the presence of God. I fight daily to get into the presence of God. Verse 8. Here's Job. He took him a pot shirt to scrape himself, the outside of himself, and he sat down among the ashes. And you mentioned it last time. It's just tough when all you can do is just sit in your sickness. And so when that happens, and I guess it was, what do you call it? Like a Brillo pad? You guys, the old school, the young folks don't know how to clean up. They don't know what the Brillo pad is, okay? But for us old folks, okay? Oh, do I need to ask? Can I ask? Who? Jail, you know what a Brillo pad is? There you go. All right. No further questions, Your Honor. That's all right, though. Oh, so he had like a Brillo pad. He's just so jacked up that he's, come on, man. Somebody, now it's my turn. And I got to, I'm sick to the point where all I can do is just get a Brillo pad and just sit there. But the bottom line is that you and I have some major issues that we have to deal with. And then what do? Who do you blame? Whose fault is it this time? Take a look at Job 1 and 15. Remember that? When his life first fell apart, when Satan destroyed everything with his lying self, saying that he would curse God, and he didn't, then all of a sudden he's going to come back and say, but if you touch his body now. So it's just, he's always lying. But verse 15, the Sabaeans were blamed. In verse 16, they blamed God. In verse 17, they blamed the Chaldeans. And then in verse 19, they blame Mother Nature, or the great wind, or the global warming, or the environment. Who are you blaming? Who are you and I blaming for where we are? See, we're upset at the wrong enemy. This is spiritual warfare at the highest level. It's not people. If you're still getting upset with people, we got a lot of maturing to do. It's not people. Recognize the enemy for who. If you never expose the enemy, if you don't know who you're fighting against, how can you win the battle? If you don't know who the enemy is, you're not going to win because you're fighting the wrong enemy. Your strategy is flawed because you're fighting the wrong enemy. All right, so here we go. Verse 9. Then said his wife. All the married men said amen. We still love y'all. Are you still going to keep your integrity, curse God, and die? But that's okay, though, because she's no different than most people in society. When something goes wrong, most people want to blame God. Amen? They say things like, if there's a God, why is there so much sickness and hate in the world? I remember when I was working at the group homes, the psychiatric adolescent center. I would teach the Bible study and work with the youngsters there. Their ages from 8 to 17, 18, they have to leave. But you got your cutters, you got everything. And one of the first questions, you know, Pastor Carter, why did God kill my mom? God didn't kill you. But see, that's how Satan, remember, that's all he does. He lies. And he's convinced us that God did it. Why did God let my dad do this and leave us? And why did God let my dad hurt me? I remember I was talking to the young lady. And, you know, you got to know your population. And I knew it, but it wasn't really thinking, Jerry, Dana. I wasn't really thinking. And so I say, you know, sometimes parents want to teach you a lesson. So like if the stove is hot and you touch it, then you learn, don't do it again. She says, well, Mr. Carter, what about when your parent puts you in the oven and cuts it on? I said, oh, well, I wasn't ready for that one. Why would God let my mom put me in the oven and cut it on? See, but it's not God's fault. It's this spiritual warfare. If you're fighting... You're fighting the wrong enemy, you're never going to win. If you're playing football in a baseball game, you're going to lose. If you're playing basketball on the soccer field, you're going to lose. You're playing the wrong game. You're fighting the wrong. You got the wrong strategy. Family, we've been playing football in a baseball game. And we wonder why we have no victory. Wonder why it's always falling apart. Wonder why we can't get clarity on anything. We've been fighting the wrong enemy. So Job's wife, let's read that again, because I had a different name for her. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain your integrity? Curse God and die." Talk about a negative Nancy, a Debbie Downer, a princess pessimism. Good grief, honey. You think you could have said something a little bit better? Honey, do you think you at least could have lifted me up a little bit? Verse 10, but he said unto her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speak. You speak as a person that doesn't have a relationship with God. You speak as someone who doesn't know God. Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil, or shall things not fall apart?" And see, that's the lie that comes with the prosperity and the faith movement that says that you can, you know, name it and claim it. You can blab it and grab it. You just can't, because things do go wrong. You become a Christian and things fall apart. It's not like once you become a Christian, your life is perfect. That's not true. Stop. We got to let people know that you can become a Christian and everything can fall apart due to no fault of your own. But you still got to trust God through the process. It says, in all this did not Job sin with his lips. Try not to sin with your lips. That's where it starts. When we start saying stuff that we have no business saying, Lord, guard our mouth. And then even if you didn't sin with his lips, then make sure, although you don't say it, make sure your heart doesn't say things, because God still knows what's coming out of the heart. Matter of fact, God is reading your heart regardless of what your lips say. So I wrote a couple of these, and then I'm not going to get to where I want to go, but that's why we, Lord willing, we'll be here next week and finish this, because it only gets better. And I'm trying to get to the end of Job. I'm going to skip and go right to the end, right? After we finish this, we're going to the end. We're going to see how it just turns out. He has the victory. It turns out great. It really does. He's going through a lot, but it turns out great. Just like our life, we go through a lot, but God, we got the victory. It's going to turn out great. God never ends anything on a negative. Stay close to God. Run to the presence of God. He doesn't end it on a negative. If it's still negative, don't be discouraged. He's not finished with you yet. God is still working. He's not finished. So what? It's still falling apart, Pastor. That's okay. He's not finished. Be encouraged. Because if he was finished, it would be the victory and the power, and it would be on the positive. So he's not finished yet. He's still working on you and I to get us to where he wants us to go. So be encouraged. We're going to get to it. I can't wait to get there, so you see how it ends. Say, Pastor, what if I pass away? Then you go right to his presence and his glory and you win. It never ends on a negative for those of us that are born again, blood-bought Christians. It never ends on a negative. Just got to get through the process. Stop playing football on the baseball field. Recognize who the enemy is. All right, let me end with this. See, this is what Job is telling her 10. He says, don't talk like someone who doesn't have a relationship with God. Shall we receive good at... Anybody ever been blessed by God? Let me see your hand. Come on now, see? You just can't say, all right, I've been blessed by God and that's all I should be. Then he says, well, how many shall we not receive? How many have we had a tough time since we've been a Christian? There you go. I say that's what Job is saying. You got to go through some things. You're going to have some good days and some bad days. I feel like singing that song. But I can't sing. So I better not do it. Amen, huh? So let me finish with this. Family, we can't just love God when things are going good. You can't just love God. That's shallow. There's no relationship there. You can't just love your spouse when they're well. The vow said in sickness and in health, for richer, for good. We just say that, but we don't really mean it. We never think about it. We're always going to be rich and not poor. She's always going to be well and not sick. She's always going to be good and not worse. That's not true. And you can't have that type of relationship with God. We can't just love God when things are going good. And remember, God can use the enemy to prune you and to push you into your purpose, which is what he did with Job. Let me say it again. God can use the enemy, because the enemy thinks he knows, he's getting over. God said, I'm just using you. And you're going to prune them and you're going to push them right into the purpose I already pre-planned for them. We can't be fair weather Christians. It's foolish to think that we will never go through hard times and hardships as Christians. Don't speak against God when things fall apart. Don't sin in your heart. And then I made a note, Romans 8:28 and 8:29, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. And let me read that second part too, because I don't have it memorized. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son. They go together, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So God already knew he's going to send us through some things, because he knows that he's going to conform us to the image of his son. And that's what makes it work out for good, because when we come out, we look like Jesus Christ. And we'll pick up the rest next week. If you would, just bow your heads. If you would, just bow your heads, just for a quick minute. We'll pray and we'll dismiss. We have our meeting upstairs. But Lord, we just want to pause and just thank you. God, we ask for your forgiveness, and we repent, Lord, for not seeking you like in the Proverbs it said, we need to seek you like buried treasure. We need to seek you like rubies and gold. We need to go after it, Lord, like it was something really, really special and really valuable. We need to seek you like that. So we ask for your forgiveness, Lord, for not seeking you like we should have. And we thank you that you forgive us, and we thank you for the second chance, Lord. We ask that you forgive us for playing football on a baseball field, for being so confused and not even knowing who the enemy is. Forgive us for not praying for our spouses. Forgive us for not praying for our parents. Forgive us, Lord, for not praying for our kids and our children, Lord. Forgive us for speaking evil against our spouses and our children, our kids, speaking evil against our parents, Lord, not knowing that they're only being led by the Holy Spirit to remind us of who we are in Christ. Forgive us for speaking against even the people within the church and thinking they're the enemy. It's no enemies in here. We're all on the same team. We've just been playing football on a baseball diamond, trying to figure out why we can't win. But God, thank you for snatching the covers off the enemy. We make a commitment. We're not going to be arguing with our spouse and our kids. We're going to be praying, Lord, each and every morning. Lord, put the fire in us. Start revival in us first. Primero. First in us. Each morning, going to God on behalf of my kids and my wife and my family and my church and my co-workers, praying for them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. So we thank you and we bless you for your word this morning. That's sharper than a two-edged sword. That is a lamp and a light. Now we know how to walk clearly as we interact with others. We bless you for it, Lord, and we thank you. Maybe someone's here and they say, Pastor, I've never even accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If that's you and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I'm rescued from death, hell, sin, and the grave. that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you. If you're here and you want to rededicate your life, that's between you and God. Just ask God in your heart, as we've already done. God, forgive me and help me to do better. The word says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Says God has put our sins in the depth of the sea, that he remembers our sin no more. We have to confess, forsake, and run to the presence of God. That's rededication. And then I would say, stay in the presence of God. Don't leave the presence of God. Because in the presence of God is fullness. It's the fullness of joy. In his right hand, there are delight and just blessings forever. Don't leave the, why would you want to leave that? And Lord, maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've been visiting. I never made it official, and I would like to join this morning. If you'd like to unite with us, some say members, but we know we are family. Here at South Bay Abundant Life Church, elevate your hand if you'd like to join. Lord, we thank you for listening to our hearts, not our lips, but looking right at our heart. We thank you for that, Lord. We bless you for it. We submit, we surrender to you, Lord. Have your way in our life. Bless your people. Bless the meeting upstairs. Bless the food upstairs, Lord. Let us continue in the same wisdom and power of the Holy Spirit as we discuss church business and how to keep being a light in this community and in the world that you've called us to do. We're so grateful and so thankful, Lord, for all that you've done for this ministry and how we are affecting our community and the world through the love of Jesus Christ. Bless your people, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Men, I need to see you right here for 3 minutes. Everyone else, stand to your feet. Give someone a hug. God bless you, and you are dismissed.